my job then is to start doing the research, start looking at the videos that they send in, but in addition, looking at their social media. Do they post stupid things or are they clean? That's a big one, because that's where we can find a person's personality, see would they be a good fit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world's favorite youth baseball podcast, Clearing the Bases, featuring Coach Jimmy Filangieri. I'm David Friedman. I want to thank you for coming along on this ride with us.
In part, we go over certain plays every week, whether it be first and thirds, bunt defenses, where to look for outfield signs, or whatever it may be. It comes down to communicating, and we over-communicate. And the only way that younger guys will learn is if you over-communicate, because sometimes they're just spaced out. They'll just say, yes, coach, I get it. And then it comes down to executing a play in a game, and they have no idea where they have to be.
You know, it's funny how things work out sometimes. So we're sitting at the booth, and who stops by but Matt Rienzi. Matt is the assistant coach at Roger Williams University, and he's also the head coach for the Ocean State Waves in the New England College Baseball League. The thing that was interesting is that during the conversation, I found out that Matt played his high school baseball at Xavier High School in New York, which was part of the Catholic High School Athletic Association, where I was coaching baseball at Stepanek High School. So there was an immediate connection there. And, you know, we went on, we talked a little bit about recruiting, we talked about stealing bases, looking at a player as a person first, and a lot more stuff. You know, I really, really enjoyed the conversation with Matt, and give a listen, see what Matt has to say. Hey, everybody, if you could believe this, we have another guest, okay? So his name is Matt Rienzi, and you know what? Matt's going to tell us a little bit about himself.
Yeah, thanks. I'm an assistant coach at Roger Williams University. I'm originally from Queens, New York, born and raised, and went to Xavier High School in the city. So I got a great education out of there. Went to Johnson & Wales my freshman year to play. I ended up transferring to St. Joe's in Brooklyn, and being one of the leaders there, that got me into coaching. So I was a volunteer for my first year in college baseball and ended up with the Ocean State Waves my first year as a bullpen coach. And wouldn't you know it, the pitching coach for the Waves was at Roger Williams, let me know about the opening. So I got hired there as the recruiting coordinator, catching coach, and first base coach. And I've stayed with the Waves in the past 2 years as well, working my way up to being the head coach this season in the New England Collegiate Baseball League.
Nice. Okay, so something that you just said just gave me goosebumps, okay? So you went to Xavier High School.
I did.
Okay. I just left the position as the head JV coach at Stepanek High School.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And just yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. I got a text message from the head JV coach at Xavier. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on? Let's schedule games, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, Al, I'm not there anymore because I moved on. Now I'm a varsity coach at another school.
Nice. Congratulations.
We used to play you.
Yeah, all the time. Small world.
Really, really small world. So talk a little bit about what's going on at
Roger Williams. So we're a program that competes in the CCC. It's a Division III program. Very good academic school. We offer 41 majors, but for me, it was more of a learning experience. So when I interviewed for the job, Coach Kelly, who's the head coach there, asked me, what's your end goal? What do you want to do with this? And to be honest, since I just wrapped up my first year of coaching, didn't think much of it. And he said, if you want to be a head coach one day, come to this program and we will work on that stuff together.
Awesome.
And everything you do as an assistant is just going to build you up. So that's part of the reason why I took the job. But also I wanted to go to different programs, see how things are run, see if I can recruit. That's the big thing for me. If I can recruit, I know I can recruit anywhere. And being the recruiting coordinator over there, you know, I came in, we had a very large roster due to COVID. And we had talent, but the year before, we were ranked 22nd in the country.
Wow.
Last year, we were kind of in the rough. You know, we had a rough start down in Florida, but we had a very strong strength of schedule. So the competition I saw as a coach was ecstatic, right? So working on the scouts, working on all that stuff, I got to see all the cool things that they do at Roger Williams, and I was able to see a team that was growing. So out of all nine guys who start, about three or four of them were freshmen. So we were exposed early, and it was more of a learning challenge last year. However, in years past, you know, we haven't achieved that goal of winning the CCC. Last year, with that freshman group, we made it the furthest we've ever been under Coach Kelly.
Wow.
In the CCC. So it's a program that's back on the rise. We're looking to be a 30-win team a year, 30-win team again this year. You know, we brought in a bunch of transfers over the summer just to build off that depth, and it is going to be a challenge. You know, we have a very competitive conference, but it is one of the better conferences in Division III baseball.
Yeah, well, having the challenge is good, though, right? Keeps you
Absolutely.
Guys on, keeps them on their toes.
We stay late nights talking about scouts, talking about defensive positioning, talking about lineups. Every single little thing, we hammer it down. You know, we like to talk about runs coached in, RCI. That's a big Coach Kelly thing. You know, we take advantage of teams who may not be coached as well, or we see something that they lack. So we'll expose that early and use that to our advantage. You know, one of the big things I liked last year was we picked up a lot of tendencies on pitchers. We had a program record 121 stolen bases last
Wow.
year. So, you know, very aggressive on the base paths, but we lacked power. So each year we adjust the way we coach based off what we have on the team. So we're a big singles team, but in the first three pitches, we'll change that into a double by stealing second base. And we were just aggressive. You know, some games we would have as much as 16 stolen bases. So
Wow.
it comes down to how we read everything on the field.
Well, I mean, yeah. Stealing base is a big part of the game, okay? And if you're able to do that, like you said, and have 16 stolen bases in one game,
yep,
you're going to win that game. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's something that, you know, we should be teaching, we should be doing, but I hear from a lot of college coaches that that's not being taught at the lower levels.
No.
Which is a shame.
Yes, and we see that a lot, you know, with our freshmen. We always say, doesn't matter if you're a first-year guy or you're a sixth-year senior, we're putting the best nine out there. But what we see as a trend is that a lot of the younger guys have issues retaining information. And
Okay.
part of that is because we think that they aren't properly coached at all levels. And obviously there's great coaches out there, and there's coaches who sometimes roll the balls out. And when they come to us, obviously they have the talent, they have the personality to be a part of the roster, because we don't break it down just by baseball talent. We look at you how you are as a person.
Sure.
Coach Kelly has an extensive recruiting visit that we do. It takes about 2 hours, and it's just him talking, getting to know the player as a person and see what type of person they are, what kind of coaching style works with them, and we break it down to a science. And that's something that when I was being recruited, I didn't really think about having that relationship with the coach. So I think that's what makes the program special.
So
and
important.
He invests a lot of time into the players, whether it be people projects, how to tie a tie, resume reviews, interviews. Coach Kelly just does all the right things when it comes to that.
So important. All right.
Yeah.
All of those things. I mean, let's face it. We talk about it all the time. You know, life lessons. You know, we're teaching baseball. Of course we are. However, more importantly, we're teaching them how to be young men.
Yes.
You know, to go on to be good fathers, good business people, you know, be contribute to their community, all of this stuff. That's what we're doing.
You might have sat in on a recruiting visit, because that's literally the words he uses. And the big thing is, it's not about the next 4 years, it's about the next 40. And how do we build you into a better man?
Of course. Yep. We want to make you, you know, that when you have kids of your own, that you're an upstanding, decent husband, father to those kids, and you raise good kids. You know, I mean, I can keep going on about, you know, what we
Absolutely.
Teach. You know, and it's funny because baseball is a small part of it.
It is.
You know, I mean, even if you look at it from a standpoint as a coach, how much time I spend on teaching the mental side of the game as opposed to the X's and O's, okay? So, really, the X and O's and the mechanical stuff of the game is like a tiny part of what we
it
do.
Is.
You know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. So, one of the things that I wanted to ask, because you brought up about recruiting.
Yes.
What's it like recruiting now? Because I know it's got to be a disaster.
I mean, there's so many different platforms, right? So
yeah.
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Field Level, I'm on Blue Book, I'm on almost every single recruiting website there is. And we have Front Rush, that's the program we use at Roger, and kids fill out a questionnaire, and it gives literally all your information. That way, my job then is to start doing the research, start looking at the videos that they send in, but in addition, looking at their social media. Do they post stupid things, or are they clean? That's a big one, because that's where we can find a person's personality, see would they be a good fit. But then we have a whole database that we set up, And what that is I'll fill in dates with different tournaments, different showcases, and I'll talk with the other assistants and Coach Kelly and say who wants to work which event, and we'll just put that in. That way, if you are in our database with Front Rush, we're able to track you down to what specific tournament you're at, go see you. Sometimes what we like to do is not wear any gear at all. That way, we see you at your true self. And that's why it's always important, who are you when no one's looking? Which comes down to what we preach about with our players. But in the recruiting world, it's huge because you got to be working harder than the guy in front of you. And guess what? There's also a guy behind you working 10 times as hard. So that constant competition, it's how do you deal with adversity? How do you deal with all the small things and becoming a better baseball player?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tell my players all of the time, okay, especially during a practice or something, or, you know, it could even be during a game where they're not maybe conducting themselves the way they should be. And that's what I'll take them on the side. I'll say, come here a second. Look up in the stands. I said, do you see any scouts there? And they're like, no. I see any recruiters there? And they're like, no. And I'm like, yeah, and you never will. Okay? Because, like you said, right, you don't know who's there. So I'm actually not explaining this the right way. In other words, you should be playing like you don't know who is watching you.
Exactly.
Okay? That no matter what, if you're throwing a no-hitter, recruiter walks in, he shouldn't know that. If you're getting shelled and a recruiter walks in, he shouldn't know that. You know what I mean? It's
all about staying cool, calm, and composed. That's a big thing, right? Because you could be a talented kid. You might just have an off day. But still, we want to see your personality based off that. Are you a guy who will turn around, yell at your teammates, right? That's something that doesn't fly in our program. So we have a 47-man roster right now. Yeah. And every single one of those guys, we always talk about this analogy, is rowing the boat. If everyone's rowing the boat in the same direction, we will be fine. We will achieve our goal of winning the CCC, moving on to try to get to the World Series. The second one guy stops rowing or starts rowing in a different direction, that boat's going to start going sideways. And that's where issues start coming about. So being a team guy is a huge thing because we look into every little aspect of it to see if you would be a fit. We've talked with plenty of coaches, whether it be high school coaches, other college coaches that might be on the same kid, saying, yeah, we like him. However, you know, his attitude might not be right, and he might cause issues in the locker room. So that's a huge thing in terms of trying to get to the next level is who you are as a person.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we preach about it all the time. We get through to some kids we don't.
Yep.
Okay, and one of the things that, again, high school players, because that's where I coach, we have to make them understand that your attitude and effort, and my co-host, that's his number one thing that he talks about all the time is effort and attitude, and that's the whole shooting match.
Yep, and it comes down to being coachable. As a coaching staff, we always say, in order to be a successful coaching staff, you have to be coachable. You have to understand you don't know everything, and that's kind of the mindset I came in with to this job, and the kids accept that big time. Like, they know if they ask a question I don't know the answer to, I probably know someone due to my networking. So there's always that backup plan that you have to kind of back yourself up as a coach. And same thing for the players. If they always take on the attitude of the head coach. That's just how it is. And in a business, you take on the attitude of your boss. So the way Coach Kelly coaches is the way he wants his players to be. Again, cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really interesting because, like you just said, I think that if we let our players know, okay, that, yes, we don't know we don't know everything, but if we don't know it, we're going to find out, okay? It makes them understand that, hey, yeah, they're not going to know everything. And I'll use a perfect example. Last season, one of my players came over and said, Coach, when a pitcher's delivering, where should my eyes be focused? And I told him where I thought it should be. He said, that's funny. He said, Coach so-and-so said that they should be here, right? I said, really? Now, I'm not going to say to the kid, well, Coach so-and-so was wrong. I would never do that, okay?
Of course.
So what I did is I said, you know what? We'll talk about this tomorrow. Let's bring it up. We'll bring it up tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Went home, did a little research, made a couple of phone calls, da-da-da-da-da. Turns out that we were both right, okay? So in other words, and I'll explain it further, my focus is on the brim of the hat, okay, when you're a hitter. my assistant coaches was that it should be here. Well, the answer is it should be here, and then when the pitcher gets to here, your eyes just slide over so you have a hard focus and da-da-da-da-da, and I explained everything to him. But I didn't know that at the time, and I showed him that, hey, I didn't know something, now we're all smarter.
Of course.
They need to know that.
And a good coach always is humble in that aspect because, again, as players, they see that you're humble in yourself and you understand that, again, you're not perfect, then they'll understand that they're not perfect, like you said.
Right, and that, you know, yeah, I didn't know something. I didn't try and fake it. I didn't, you know, make an excuse. I didn't. We went and we got the answer. Now this is what we're doing, guys. Your eyes are here, and then they slide over here, and boom, we're good.
Okay? Absolutely.
So everybody got better. So what we were talking about the recruiting a bit, and the one thing that I noticed that you avoided, okay, and I'm really curious to hear about this because I have something in my mind, the transfer portal. You didn't say a word about it.
So, you know, that's obviously a big thing. So what we learned about the transfer portal is to be a successful program, to be back where we were, 30-win team, was we had to hit the portal last summer. So we brought in about five or six guys, a couple of them Division I guys, who just weren't getting enough playing time. And for them, they understood that that's the thing. They need to find somewhere where they'll be happy, number one. If your arm fell off tomorrow and you could not play baseball again, are you happy? And that's the number one question we ask at Roger.
I love it.
When it comes to recruiting. But we needed some depth. And we're a team that we brought in some transfers the year before. Guys love them. And they ended up being starters and playing almost 95% of the season, minus some injuries. But we did hit up the portal a little bit just because, again, depth was a big thing for us. We did lose a bunch of guys due to injuries. So we just wanted to build up off of that. Moving forward, however, we will still be looking at the portal, obviously, because if you are in a win-now position, my opinion is that that's the best tool you can have. However, the way we work is that we're very transparent. Coach Kelly will always say, hey, you might be a guy who, if you're a part of the roster right now, you're 1 year away from playing, and we will work with you every single day. We have Coach Kelly working with the infielders, Coach Nappy with the infielders, myself with the catchers and base runners, Coach Tim with the outfielders and hitters, and Coach Dawson with the pitchers. So every aspect is covered. The development is really one-on-one. Like, I have five catchers. Any question that, you know, you may ask me about them, I know the answer to, because we have that relationship. Same goes for all the other coaches. So, yeah, the portal is a big thing, and a lot of programs are using it to their advantage. However, we still believe that there is talent out there in the high school level, and we just build them up by their sophomore year to be completely ready in that aspect. And we do think the portal might die down in a couple of years.
Interesting.
I think the COVID really had a huge impact on that. But obviously there's going to be rule changes that are going to be enforced in the following years just because of how the portal has been.
Yep.
So I think the first step that they just took with the dead date back in December, great. I think that helps a lot of programs keep their guys. You know, we haven't had any issues with our guys in the portal.
Good. That's a good sign.
Which is a good thing. You know, I like the retention rate. However, I've known coaches who complain about it. They hate it because their best players now see an opportunity at a higher level and they'll take it. And again, you can't blame them. However, you want to see some sort of retention rate, some sort of truthfulness to, hey, I'm committing here because you're a four-year school. This is where I'm going to learn the most. This is where I'm going to get the best investment. And I think in part with Coach Kelly's efforts, because I can't speak enough about the man.
Sounds like
he does a lot of good things that the players love him.
Yeah.
And it's good to see. He just had a boy, little Jace. So once he had that happen, you know, he had to take care of his family. He trusted his assistants to do the right things. And we ran a few practices here and there when he couldn't be at. And the guys understood that.
Right.
And having those guys being able to buy in what we're preaching, which is basically what Coach Kelly talks about, but having the respect towards the assistants and just buying in at all times, I think that's helping us kind of avoid the portal in the future, because what we're building with the younger guys is going to be spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I like that a lot, because I view the portal as a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm looking at it from a player perspective. Okay? So I'm playing at ABC school. I'm not happy. All right? I'm going to jump in the portal. Well, watch what you wish for, because if somebody doesn't pick you up, now what are you going to do?
Now you're in a tough situation. Okay. Yeah, so.
And then the other side of that is, you know, you have a kid, whatever, playing, you know, D3 ball, kid's tearing it up. Okay, and he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to test the waters, and he jumps in, and somebody else takes him. And, you know, it. I could see, or I believe that what's going to happen is eventually the top guys are going to be it.
Yep.
And then there's going to be nobody else after that, because anybody that's any good is going to jump in the portal.
It's almost like free agency.
Exactly.
Yeah, like there's guys who have talent. You know their name, how they're not getting re-signed for some reason. And I just think that might be, you know, a good analogy to that as well.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, when they first started talking about it, because, again, I'm a little bit older, so I come from an older way of thinking. You know, if you want to transfer, that's fine. Sit out a year and you could go wherever you want, okay? But now to be able to just say, hey, you know what? I don't like the food they serve in the cafeteria here. I'm going to jump in a portal because I know that so-and-so is going to pick me up.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's an advantage to us because we're top 5% in the country for food.
There you go. But it also, the other thing, too, is it hurts high school kids.
It does.
You know, because those kids are working, you know, some of them, I mean, obviously not all of them, but some of them working their butts off to try and get recruited to be able to go to college. And, you know, maybe he had his eyes set on, again, ABC school, and they said, oh, wait a minute, I was going to take that high school kid, but.
Yeah. It's all about, again, coming back to investing time. Like, certain programs just might be in a win-now position, and they'd rather focus on that opportunity with the portal, get some guys that might fill in those missing pieces rather than developing. And, again, I think with our program, being able to develop and win, I think that's going to go a long way. So,
sure.
Obviously, that one-off year, you know, it sucks, but moving forward, we learned a lot from that, and we're going to be able to just be better coaches and better as a team
right.
moving forward.
But I mean, really, you're going to, regardless of what happens, you're going to have off years here
yes.
and there anyway,
yeah,
so what's the difference? When we hit the recruiting, let's go towards, and again, this is going to be an opinion-based thing, because this podcast is really geared towards youth coaches and, you know, the youth game. As a college coach, what advice would you give to a lower-level coach, like below high school, travel ball coach, you know, that type
communication.
Of thing?
Communication. That's the big thing. We make playbooks, and we do chalk talks every Sunday after practice. And in part, we go over certain plays every week, whether it be first and thirds, bunt defenses, where to look for outfield signs, or whatever it may be. It comes down to communicating, and we over communicate. And the only way that younger guys will learn is if you over communicate, because sometimes they're just spaced out. They'll just say, yes, coach, I get it. And then it comes down to executing a play in a game, and they have no idea where they have to be. So really, it's an investment. And you know, I've been in the travel ball circuit, and the way I ran that program was as if I was a head coach in college, right? So those guys were a lot of them were actually Division I commits. I was blessed to have a very good team with the Makos, and a lot of the questions were, do you do this in college? How does college look like? How does the practice run? How does games run? And I was like, I will give you guys a summer just filled with that stuff. So practices weren't crazy. We would just work on certain things and hit almost every single time we had practice. But when it came to, you know, the games, we had a very good record, and I couldn't be more proud of those guys. And they're doing very well at their universities. And the first thing they did after the fall was reach out to me and say, you know, I don't want to come off as arrogant, but they said that the time you invested in the summer made me ready for college.
Sure.
Because now those guys are investing their time in me, and it's the same exact thing. So whatever you put in as a travel coach, high school coach, that investment will pay off for those guys, because it just goes such a long way. And you, the more you over-communicate, the more you prepare. There's no such thing as too much practice. Obviously, time limits, water, whatever it may be, that's necessary. However, if there's one thing you want to hammer down that day to make sure that the team understands it, hammer down. And communicating-wise, like, we will never call out a player. We won't say, you cost us the game because you struck out with the bases loaded in the ninth. No.
Oof.
We will go into every single detail that went throughout the game, whether it be a failed bunt, a failed executed pickoff, whatever it may be. We we just come together as a team at the end of the game, and we just talk about it. And we say, we failed as coaches because we didn't prepare you guys. We failed as a team because we weren't all on the same page. So my advice is just over-communicate. There's nothing wrong with that, because that way you're not only making your team better, but you're starting to build a relationship. And right. That's what it comes down to. When it's between the lines, it's professional. When it's outside of the lines, you guys can talk about anything. And that's the only way that you will get your guys to buy in, is by being a role model. And you know, this analogy always comes down in a recruiting visit is Coach Kelly has a pit bull, Skye, and every time he walks her, people cross the street because she's a pit bull. But in reality, she's the sweetest dog ever. She won't bite or do anything. So part of the reason is that because he trained her. And he was always cool, calm, collected with her. That way, now she's doing that. So same thing is, how are you performing as a coach? Are you the coach that blames the umpires for the loss, blames a player for a loss? Because then the player will think it's all right to point fingers at another. So the example you set as a coach is by over-communicating and just being understanding that your words will have consequences.
Sure, sure. I mean, I love that, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can only speak for myself. One of my players says, boo, to an umpire, other than, how are you today, sir?
Of course.
Okay? There's going to be a problem, okay?
Of course.
You know, we treat everybody with respect, and that's the way it is. And we worry about, you know, what's the saying? We live in our dugout is the saying that we do our thing.
Yeah.
That's it, okay? Don't yell at the umpire. If we lost a game, you know, like you said, bases loaded, the kid struck out, you know, what about back in the third inning when we had runners on first and second, okay, and you rolled one over the shortstop and hit into a double play?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's so many things that you can point to during a baseball game that was the reason why you lost. It never comes down to one play.
Yes.
You know?
And at the end of the day, the head coach is always the leader. So it really comes down on the head coach's shoulders. And I think when coaches understand that, and move forward with it, okay, what moves did I make that may have cost us the game? What did I not work on enough with these guys to be able to get them ready? Being able to understand that stuff, again, great role model, and it'll just have a lasting effect on the kids.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many times, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've done it as a coach too, after the game, all right, guys, come on, let's talk about this. All right, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Guys, that was on me.
Of course.
A million times.
Okay. Of course. So, I mean, a big saying that I like to use, especially when I'm going to be coaching the Waves this summer, is regardless of what the game is, did we win, did we lose? If we won, great, celebrate for 30 minutes. And at the end of the day, we're 0-0 going into tomorrow. If we lose, sulk about it tonight. However, wake up tomorrow, refreshed, we're 0-0. And that's the big thing. You constantly be 0-0, because whatever happened yesterday, even though it might have an effect in the standings, does not matter today.
That's right. I mean, Steve Springer says it the best, okay?
Yep.
Every day's opening day.
Exactly.
Every day. You couldn't have explained it any better. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing with the summer team.
So the Ocean State Waves are a team in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. So this is a league right behind the Cape.
Okay.
So it is excellent talent from all over the country. I've had the pleasure of coaching guys from Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Georgetown, just to name a few. But I've had three guys that I've coached in the past 2 years that have been drafted. And moving forward, I'm looking forward to being a head coach. For me, personally, it's going to be more of how to get the whole team to buy into what our goal is going to be this summer. So our goal is always to compete and develop. Some guys are guys who may have been redshirt guys, so they didn't get enough innings or any innings at all. Same thing with at-bats. So every single day, the lineup is going to be different. And the sole reason for that is because they are going to be playing in front of scouts. And I need to give them the best opportunity to be looked at by the next level. So what we do is the NECBL, every single team has TrackMan and Synergy. After every single game, the analytics team breaks down the video, breaks down the TrackMan, sends it over to Major League Baseball. So the next morning, all 30 teams have a scouting report of player A on this team. What did he do? Oh, he hit a fastball that was coming in at 99, and he turned on it and hit it 400 feet. So all that information, it's cool to see. You know, I wasn't a big analytics guy, but I have bought into some things just because I do like to see the numbers. It gives me a base of talent, and is also helping me in the recruiting world. Can I see projectability and stuff like that?
But that's funny, though, because you said you're not a big analytics guy. Now, you're a young guy.
Yep.
Okay. You can imagine, like, from my point of view, okay, I'm not a big analytics guy at all. However, okay, yes, like you said, they do have their place, okay? One of the facilities where I used to coach travel baseball out of, when the boys would be in it and they would be hitting in the TrackMan tunnel, this used to drive me berserk, okay? Kid would get in there, he would hit. First thing he'd do is turn around and look at his exit velocity up on the TrackMan. I'd walk over, I'd unplug it.
Yeah.
Because now, the next if he didn't like that number he saw,
yeah,
the next swing, he's coming out of his shoes, he's pulling his head out, you know, his front shoulder, everything is going bad.
Yeah.
Because of that.
And truth be told, you know, we talk about this, whether you strike out and you throw a helmet, or in a similar situation like that where you're looking at these numbers and you're caring about it too much, at the end of the day, no one cares. The only person who cares is you.
Right.
And if that's the type of player you are, where you only care about yourself, it's not going to last at any level.
Right.
Because if you're in high school, college coaches can see that. If you're in college, the scouts can see that stuff. So it does go a long way, regardless of what level you're at.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah, you know, let's face it, it has become a big part of the game, so we do need to know. I'm even an old dog like me. I do have to know, you know, certain things about it. But you know what? I still do things by my gut, you know, what my eyes tell me. And, you know,
none of the lineups we make are based off analytics, lefty-righty stats. None of that matters.
Yeah.
It's, can they hit a righty? Can they hit a lefty? Let the scouts see it by themselves. Because especially with the video, you can break down the swings. You can see any hitches, any issues. Do they roll over on particular guys? And, you know, it's cool to see the difference between some of those SEC guys and Division III guys. Just seeing the variance in the level of competition. And the one thing I would say that for the youth is whatever a coach tells you, you know, obviously take that and learn from it. However, if another coach says something that might make more sense to you, take that and roll with it. So start bringing pieces together from different coaches and being able to understand. And that's what I see a lot with these Division I guys, is where I might see something and I'll just give them a hint, like, hey, you might be stepping a little too hard into that front leg. Try to sit back a little bit longer and you'll be able to go middle oppo. And they'll just take it and roll with it. And again, they'll go back to their university or college and be able to have a great fall, earn themselves a starting lineup spot next spring. So it goes a long way because they understand how to be coachable. And I think that might be one of the biggest differences, aside from talent, is that they're very coachable guys. Because, again, they don't have to listen to me. They don't have to trust me. Just because I'm the head coach, you don't have to trust me. I have to earn their trust. And once I start doing that, then they're like, okay, I could listen here. I can take this with a grain of salt because I like this method more and it works better. So I won't ever be offended. And I think a lot of coaches are starting to understand that there's no right way.
Yeah.
And you just have to be able to adjust to whatever the pitcher's throwing, whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you say, being coachable, it's even important for us as coaches.
Absolutely.
We have to be coachable also. Okay, I've learned things, and I've said this on the show a million times, so all my listeners have heard me say this. I've learned things from my players.
Yeah.
Because I have said, okay, guys, we're going to do this, that, or the other thing, and a kid may say to me, hey, coach, I had my summer ball coach that said this, 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 and I'd be like, let's talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think about it, and I come back and say, you know what? I like what your other coach did. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's all about having that conversation. That's where over-communication comes into.
You got to be open to it.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not foolish enough, and I'm sure you're not either, to think that I know everything. I got this whole game, you know, figured out in my head. Don't worry about it. No.
Of course.
It doesn't happen.
Not at all.
So, Matt, I got to tell you, I enjoyed this conversation greatly, and I want to thank you for stopping by, and keep in touch.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. I want to thank Matt for stopping by and sharing some information with us and our listeners. And you know what? We still have a bunch more shows coming up. And, you know, the only thing I can tell you is stay tuned, because the people that are coming up, just like the ones that have been on, understand that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the next one.